Okay, here with Dr. Terry Mortensen, and just want to get some background information about maybe how you grew up, how you became a Christian, and where you are today.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Minnesota in a church-going family, and learned a lot of the basics of the Christian faith, but didn't come to a personal faith in Christ until the end of my first year in the university. And then I joined the staff after being involved with Campus Crusade in college. I joined the staff of Campus Crusade and spent 26 years as a missionary with them, and most of that in Eastern Europe. And then in 2001, I joined the staff of Answers in Genesis, which is a ministry defending the truth of Genesis in the light of evolutionary theory. And I first started thinking about this subject shortly after my conversion to Christ, as I came in contact with some books that opened my eyes on the theory of evolution and the geological ages.
Is there one key book that was helpful?
Oh, well, there were two. There wasn't very much literature in 1972 when I was converted. One book I read was the first edition of Duane Gish's little book, Evolution, the Fossils Say No, and then a small book by Henry Morris called The Remarkable Birth of the Planet Earth, dealing with the geology and the age of the Earth.
Okay, I was very interested in arguments Christians shouldn't use, and I was just wondering if you could comment on a couple of them. The tracks in the Biloxi River, are they human, dinosaur? I was just wondering if you could say a few words on that.
Well, as we and others have investigated those tracks, we don't feel there is really compelling evidence of human tracks with dinosaur tracks. Some of the early tracks in subsequent years of erosion ended up to be the middle toe of a dinosaur, three-toed dinosaur track. And so most creationists today do not feel that there's really compelling evidence there for dinosaurs and humans walking together.
I was wondering about the Ica stones, where there's supposed drawings of dinosaurs on these stones. A question about whether they're real or fake, and I was just wondering about that.
I don't know about the Ica stones in particular, but I do know that in the southwest United States there's petroglyphs of creatures like bears and deers and deer and eagles. Etchings in stone by the Native Americans who lived there. There also are some etchings of creatures that look like dinosaurs, which would suggest quite strongly that those people actually saw those creatures. If they had actually gone extinct 65 million years ago, the Indians wouldn't have known what they looked like from the fossils. And the fact that they're drawn along with animals that do live that we know they saw would suggest that they did see creatures like that.
I was wondering what, maybe there's like one convincing argument you thought for young Earth creationists that seems to be the most convincing.
I don't think there is one most convincing argument. It's a collection of arguments. First of all, we believe that the Bible clearly teaches creation in 6 days. Exodus 20 verse 11 is a very clear verse written by God himself saying that he created in 6 days, and he uses the same Hebrew word in the justification for the Sabbath commandment as he does in the first part of the commandment where he tells the Israelites to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. And he says in that verse that he created all things in heaven and earth and the seas, everything in 6 days. So that rules out the gap theory or the framework hypothesis or any attempt to put millions of years in the days or before the 6 days. There are other, I think, other compelling biblical evidences, one being Jesus' statement in Matthew 10:6 when he's asked a question about divorce, He replied that from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So he places Adam and Eve right at the beginning of creation. So if we accept the millions of years, then we're really accepting that the evolutionary history, and that puts man at the tail end of history to date rather than at the beginning. So those would be some biblical reasons. In terms of the geological reasons, there's growing evidence that geological formations can form rapidly. There's fossils, lots of fossils that had to have been buried and fossilized very rapidly because the soft parts are there, or the scales or the skin is preserved. And if the creature had lied on, had laid on the bottom of the ocean or on the land for even years, much less thousands or millions, the decay processes of scavengers, micro-decay organisms, and just the rain and the sun or the salt in the water would erode just destroy any evidence. So, for example, the Titanic, we have no evidence of any of the human beings that drowned in the Titanic. We've got parts of the ship and dishes and boots, but no bodies, because all of that organic material was eaten by the sea creatures. So you've got to bury things quickly. There's things called polystrate fossils that cut through more than one layer of rock, often different kinds of rock, sometimes even through one or more coal, seams of coal. And trees don't stand in the forest dead for thousands of years waiting to be slowly buried. So there are a lot of geological evidences for a young Earth. And I might point out a new book that was just published, the result of 8 years of research by a team of creation scientists, all with PhDs in relevant fields, studying the radiometric dating methods. And that book is Thousands, Not Billions, is the name of the book, published in November 2005. And it has very, very strong evidence that the radiometric dating methods are completely unreliable and do not point to billions of years.
Okay, I know some say that, especially when they're talking about the helium and the zircons, is that helium can easily escape out, and that wasn't a very good test at all for that. They should have looked at the uranium lead that showed that it was old. What would you say?
Well, I'm not an expert on the radiometric dating methods, and I didn't do the research. But I think that objection will be thoroughly addressed in the technical book that has also just come out, which is called Radioisotopes in the Age of the Earth, Volume 2. And the researchers who did this research were very, very well informed on what the potential objections would be. So I would encourage any readers to get the technical book that would deal with that.
I was just wondering how you see the Bible. Would you say the Bible is a science book that we can go to and get science out of? I'm just wondering your view there.
Yeah, the Bible is not a science textbook, but we're thankful that it's not, because if it was, it'd have to be changed every few years, because that's how science works. But it is a history book, we would contend. 60% of the Bible is historical narrative, recounting God's acts in history, in time-space history. And so the Bible gives us a framework for understanding the big picture, key events that shaped the world, the creation of the world supernaturally, the flood of Noah at the time of about 2,500 years before Christ. And those statements and those portions of Scripture have tremendous bearing on our understanding of the origin of living things, the origin of the rock layers, particularly as a result of Noah's flood, which was a geologically significant event, and the order in which things were created. Genesis tells us that God created the earth first. He created the sun, moon, and stars on day four, so that rules out the Big Bang theory as a possible method that God created. It's just contrary to the order. So the Bible is not giving us experiments. It's not giving us the results of stratigraphic investigation of rock layers, but it's giving us big picture key events that that unlock the mysteries of the origin of life, the diversification of life, the origin of people groups and languages through the Tower of Babel, the origin of the sedimentary rock layers with all the fossils.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think I would add one more thing related to why this issue is so important and why I think every Christian really needs to become informed on this issue, and that is the problem of death before the fall of Adam and Eve. The Bible indicates in Genesis 3 that the judgment of God at the time of Adam and Eve's fall was not just a spiritual judgment of Adam and Eve, but it was a physical judgment on the creation. The ground was cursed, thorns and thistles began to grow, and the book of Romans, chapter 8, talks about the fact that the present creation is groaning in bondage to corruption and subject to futility. And that happened at the fall, and that curse on creation will be removed, the Bible says in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the book, and that will be the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth, when there will be no more death. And so to accept the millions of years, Christians are knowingly or unknowingly accepting millions of years of death and bloodshed. The evolutionists talk about at least four mass extinction events in earth history before man ever appeared, where 80 to 90% of the creatures living at the time died out because of an asteroid impact or whatever. And that, to me, is it just overturns, completely undermines the Bible's teaching about death and the curse on creation because of sin.
In Genesis 3 there, it talks about, in the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall die. And ancient Jewish writers interpreted the day there as 1,000 years. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and didn't take that day literally, because Adam lived almost 1,000 years.
Well, I would disagree. Josephus clearly held to a strict literal interpretation of the creation days and how long ago they existed. All of the early Christians, in fact, the vast majority, was almost a unanimous view of the church up until the 19th century, was that God created about 4,000 years before Christ in six literal days. Whether you're talking about the Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, or Protestant portions of the church. So Adam did live 900 years, but if we make a day non-literal, then we've really got a problem, because he lived, the Bible says in Genesis 5 that he lived, all the days of Adam were 930 years. So if the days aren't literal, then we've got Adam living untold ages. He'd still be alive. So the days are, you might be able to find an odd Jewish interpreter after the time of Christ, but the Jewish, in fact, most Jews will still, their calendar dates from the day of creation. They don't take into account Christ in their dating of calendar. And it's about 6,000 years.
I'm just wondering, back then most of them took the Septuagint version, which adds like another 1,000 years, and they thought Christ would be coming soon.
Yeah, there's a conflict between the Septuagint and the Masoretic Hebrew text, but it's relatively minor. We're still talking about a whole universe that's only a few thousand years old, and the debate about whether the Septuagint is preserving the accurate original Hebrew text or the Masoretic text is preserving that is a linguistic and a biblical debate, but they're still both in the same ballpark compared to what the evolutionists are claiming. So
you say about your museum, when it'll be open there in Kentucky?
Yeah, our 50,000 square foot museum is under construction right now. People can come and do a tour at 10, 12, 2, and 4 each weekday. and see what's happening and what will be there, and we hope to have it open in spring of 2007. And it'll be a world-class museum with lots of interactive things for the whole family, and we'll be challenging people at whatever level of scientific training they are. Okay, well, thank you very much. You're welcome.